You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're dropping in now on the Wausau Story Revisited. It's an exhibit at the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art. Runs through March. So story goes, Employers Mutuals of Wisconsin was insuring the nation's largest companies, expanding like crazy in the 40s. Trying to craft their brand, a New York ad firm comes up with the Wausau Story. And then in 1968, there was this news magazine, you might have heard of it, called 60 Minutes. Wausau Insurance was one of the first loyal advertisers. Here's one ad, picture a spelling bee.
W-A-U-S-A-U. There's a USA in the middle, a W-A up front,
That's fine, another U in back.
That's Wausau.
Thank you.
As in Wausau Insurance Companies.
That's fine.
The business insurance experts.
Thank you.
So much history to dive into. Your questions, your remembrances. Do you remember the famous Wausau Insurance ad campaigns? What one was your favorite? Join in 800-642-1234. Ben Clark is the archivist for the Marathon County Historical Society, which collaborated with the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art on the Wausau Story Revisited. He joins us from our studios in Wausau. Ben, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
So we're going to get to this famous TV campaign, but first let's look at how the story starts in the early 1900s, 1911. What was happening with Wausau Insurance?
Well, back then it wasn't Wausau Insurance. I guess the place to start would be that there was sort of a landmark state law that was passed in 1911 that established workers' compensation insurance as a thing. And so a bunch of people in Wausau, businessmen, decided that maybe it'd be a good idea to have a company that would underwrite those claims if they needed to. So they created what was then called the Employers Mutual Limited Liability Company of Wisconsin. And for maybe obvious reasons, they decided to shorten that to Employers Mutual most often. But so that's kind of where the company emerged from back in 1911.
So they are in the throes of growing and growing. They're doing big business, but they're in this small Midwest town, and they have to kind of craft their image. So what did they do?
Yeah, in the early years was tough because workers' compensation was a new thing. They didn't really know if companies were going to go for it. But after they kind of got over that hump and became kind of a successful company that existed, and they by the time they got to the 40s, they realized that maybe they needed an image, something to kind of set them apart from a lot of other companies. So they decided to go get some outside help. They brought in some ad people from Chicago to kind of take a look at their company and see what they could do about it.
And what did they decide to do about it?
Well, what kind of struck the Chicago people as they came in, they were sort of used to doing sort of big city environment and that sort of thing, and dealing with companies that were in that sort of mode of working with people. But they came up here, and Wausau is this small little town in central Wisconsin. Even though there's companies doing millions and millions of dollars in business every year, we still sort of had this small town attitude, and they kind of want to play that up by, one of the things that they did is they interviewed some of the clients for Employers Mutual, and the kind of pull quote that they ended up using was, they're good people to do business with. They're like any little small town. They care about their neighbors, and they're willing to go the extra mile to, make things right. So that kind of became the sort of cusp of what they ended up kind of moving forward on.
And a depot becomes really the central image. Mm-hmm. We see this Wausau Depot at night with stars in the sky, and you have the word Wausau emblazoned on the roof. Mm-hmm. Where did that image come from?
Yeah, well, that was designed by a Chicago artist named Everett McNear. It's kind of interesting because the image itself doesn't really exist. Like, you couldn't go to spots, even back in 1953 when they were sort of putting this together, you couldn't stand there and see that image as it's depicted. The depot itself is actually, we had two depots in Wausau at that time. And so they kind of took the architecture of one and they kind of moved it to the location of the other one, and kind of the skyline in the background, it doesn't quite fit what it actually was. They kind of moved it around, but the end result is a really kind of iconic image that sums up Wausau pretty well.
So they were blending images to create this kind of logo design.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all sort of drawn out, so they could kind of get away with that a little easier.
We're talking about the Wausau Story Revisited exhibit at the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art. Ben Clark is archivist for the Marathon County Historical Society. And we're going to bring in Rob Menser. He's WPR's rural communities reporter based in Wausau. You can join in as well, 800-642-1234. Did you work for Wausau Insurance when these ads were ramping up? How did you see that shape the company? Have you been to the exhibit at the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art? What piece pulled you in? We're at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Rob Menser, I understand you did a walkthrough yesterday afternoon of the exhibit.
Yeah, I took a look.
How was it?
It's interesting. It's fun, right? So the in the same way that the original image is sort of an interpretation, these paintings, these 14 paintings in the exhibit are the same, right? They're not they play on the idea of a small town and a sort of cozy place, and I don't know, you're meeting your kid at the train depot or whatever. In a way there's a sort of Norman Rockwell quality to many of them, but they're also playing with lines, and it's good, it's interesting. And then the exhibit also includes like some video clips from, you know, I don't know, Regis Philbin talking about the Wausau commercials on the Regis and Kathy Lee show, or Wausau as a clue on Jeopardy one time, and so it's fun.
So, Ben, when did we start to see TV ads for Wausau Insurance making their debut? What kind of impact did they have?
I don't know if they actually had TV ads before sort of the breakout thing. The breakout moment was the creation of 60 Minutes. Mm-hmm. In the late 60s, the first Depot ad that we were talking about ran in the Saturday Evening Post. That was sort of the one that's the journal that they would send things to, the publication. But that kind of went under at that point, and they were looking for a new opportunity to, you know, a new place to advertise, and they were looking at creating this new 60 Minutes program. And so Wausau Insurance became, well, back then Employers Mutual, became sort of a cornerstone advertiser there. And so as it became a very popular program, people would see these ads, at the ad breaks.
I think also, you know, so those commercials became very popular in the 70s and the 80s. Yep. And when you think about the appeal that they were making, like at that time, that was a time of like urban decay and very high crime rates in like large cities. It was a rough time for large cities in America. And so this idea of making an appeal that is entirely based on like a small town where you know your neighbors and you look out for each other, that, you know, look, it's a romanticized kind of a message, but at the same time you could see how that was an appealing message to a broad audience across different parts of the country at that time.
And Rob, your dad is in insurance, and he knew about these ads and mentioned them to you when you moved to Wausau. Does that really show the power of advertising?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Central Illinois, and to my knowledge, I don't know that I ever saw one of these commercials myself. But my parents definitely knew about them, and more than one person, when I said where I was moving to start a job at a newspaper, whatever, 15 years ago, said, "Oh, I know their commercials from 60 Minutes for sure." That they absolutely made a mark in that way.
And Ben, on 60 Minutes, they really owned Sunday nights in the insurance market. I mean, they were committed to this advertising.
Yeah, definitely. I guess I don't know add much more to that, but it definitely was a big part of what they their ad campaigns for sure.
How did you see it, Ben, shape Wausau in what we see today? Do they linger? Does that aura linger on Wausau, if you will?
I think it definitely has left an impact. I think you can kind of go back to the turn of the century. You know, we're a lumber town, like a lot of places in Wisconsin, and it's Wausau Insurance is one of the sort of prongs of the industry that moves out. You know, where as the lumber gets used up, and we need to find a new you know, outlet and new economy for to sustain the community that stat was established here. You know, it's, you know, paper companies and, you know, a couple of their manufacturing and insurance. And so that sort of legacy is has really shaped as generations of people have moved here to work in insurance. And, you know, it's a big part of who we are here.
Robin, I understand that you caught some of these commercials playing at the museum. When you were watching them, how did they make you feel?
Well, Kate, they're a little corny.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, it was a different time. You know what I mean? The like advertising sensibility of the late 1970s is a little different, maybe. But at the same time, they're cute, and I mean, they are fun. I think that the image that they portray, one of the reasons why it sticks here is it also flatters Wausau's self-image, right? You know, if you live in this community, you want to think of this community as a place where people are good to work with and they look out for their neighbors and so on and so forth. I'm not here to argue with that. This is a good community. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like the same advertising message that sort of worked on America also like works on the self-image of Wausau itself.
We are talking about the Wausau story. It's at the museum, Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art. Talking with Ben Clark, archivist for the Marathon County Historical Society, which collaborated with the museum on the Wausau story revisited. Rob Mentzer here as well. He's WPR's rural communities reporter. He's based in Wausau. So do you remember the famous Wausau insurance ad campaigns? Did you grow up in Wausau? What kind of impact did you see these campaigns having on the area, the community? Let's talk about it. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment for more conversation. It's Wisconsin Weekend here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for a Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about the Wausau Story Revisited exhibit that's up at the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art right now. So the iconic image of this ad campaign is a train depot, and so here's the visual. It's Wausau at night, stars in the sky, a few people on the platform, and across the roof of this depot is a big, bold letters, Wausau. The very first print ad for the Wausau Story appeared in the Saturday Evening Post in 1954. What are your remembrances of this ad campaign? Did you watch 60 Minutes and recall seeing ads in the late 60s, 70s, 80s? Did they put Wausau on the map? Join in at 800-642-1234. Ben Clark is the archivist for the Marathon County Historical Society, stays with us, and WPR reporter Rob Mentzer checked out the exhibit yesterday, and he stays with us as well. So, Ben, do you think younger people, kids, would get a kick out of this exhibit, or is this really for the older generation who remember this ad campaign?
Well, it's definitely for the older people, for sure. When we had the opening for the exhibit, they sent out invites to all of the former employees, the retired people from Wausau Insurance, and there was a huge response. So there's definitely that. As far as sort of younger generation, I think it's definitely interesting. It's kind of hard, like what Rob was saying about the ads. They're kind of dated, for sure. I mean, even the concept of a depot is kind of, I would imagine, pretty alien to most younger people, because you know we don't really travel by train up here anymore. So it definitely is a unique look at sort of this era of our past.
Ben, what's become of the two depots that this famous ad was kind of merging and showcasing?
Yeah, they've kind of had a storied past, I guess. The Wausau Insurance did buy one of the depots at one point, and we're looking at maybe restoring it and other things at various points. I think the Boy Scouts were in there for quite a while, as well as some law offices and other things. I think recently they've been sort of moved more towards like restauranting. I think a distillery was put in there. I think they opened up last year or this year. Mm. So it definitely has had sort of a greater life beyond just being a depot after the railroads left.
And Rob, you observed a connection between the place that's currently holding the exhibit, the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art, and the exhibit itself. What was that significance?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, so the depot. I used to work sort of next door to one of these depots, and it was not exactly vacant, but it was like used as like warehouse space or something. It was not really used in a public way that the public would have any connection to. Mm-hmm. And then it was just in 2017 that this Timekeeper Distillery opened, and now it's like nicely refurbished. You can go in there. It's lovely sort of wood, and they make whatever, vodka and gin and stuff, and people enjoy that. So it's like this whole new sort of refurbished space that, in a way, if the old depot was like aspirational, became an aspirational symbol of kind of like cozy small towniness. I think that in a way, having it be a sort of a hip young distillery is sort of aspirational of what maybe Wausau wants to be or think of itself as now. Now, the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art is kind of the same. It follows a similar pattern in a way. It used to be a place called the Wausau Club, and it was like this social club for rich people, this, you know, sort of a country club kind of a thing. And it's quite a grand building. Mm. Pillars in the front, and that was also vacant for maybe almost two decades before this proposal was accepted to make it the Wausau Museum of Contemporary Art, and now it's this lovely little art space, and that's where. So in the same way that the depot is rejuvenated, this old building is rejuvenated to now hold this exhibit.
Well, Ben, what will happen to these works when this exhibit comes down?
It's a good question. They were donated somewhere in 2018. It's been a sort of a long process, and we were looking to find a home for them. But actually, the collection that was donated to the Historical Society actually consists of quite a bit more. We kind of winnowed it down to some of the better pieces and removed some of the duplicates. So the rest of them are actually already at storage at the museum, or our museum, the Historical mm-hmm. Society. And so when it does come down, we're not entirely sure. We might look at some other options.
All right.
But in likelihood, they'll probably go back into storage for a while, and then maybe we'll pull them out from time to time to show them to the public too.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Ben Clark is archivist for the Marathon County Historical Society. Rob Mentzer is WPR's Rural Communities reporter in Wausau, and they joined us from our studios there in Wausau. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Steve Gotcher with a question about the holiday cocktail known as the Tom and Jerry.
Every season has its cocktails. In the summer, it's gin and tonic with a twist of lime, a margarita, or a Long Island iced tea. When the temperature drops and the snow piles up, people want a little more warmth, like a hot buttered rum or spiced mulled wine. During the holiday season, folks in Wisconsin turn to a hot drink known as the Tom and Jerry to warm them up. That got listener Pam Stokowski of Whitewater wondering.
Is Tom and Jerry's a Wisconsin thing?
We were intrigued and decided this topic needed some serious research. So we asked someone who has spent some time studying the cocktail.
Down on the corner, the crowd is so merry. I wind up by having about 12 Tom and Jerry.
Well, maybe someone who has a slightly more scholarly approach.
My name is Jim Drager. I wrote a book for the Wisconsin Historical Society called Bottoms Up, A Toast to Wisconsin's Historic Bars and Breweries.
We thought Drager might know if the Tom and Jerry is unique to Wisconsin and why that's so.
I think there are a couple of reasons why it's a Wisconsin thing. First of all, it's basically a farm-based drink because it has dairy and eggs in it and butter in it. So, you know, for us Wisconsinites, that hits home to that sweet spot in our heart for dairy. And I think the other reason is because it's a drink that has brandy in it. And as we all know, Wisconsin has a thing for brandy.
So we have a dairy connection and the Sconny favorite, brandy. But did the Tom and Jerry originate here, or does it come from somewhere else?
There is an American mixologist named Jerry Thomas, who claimed credit for it in the 1860s. He published a recipe for it in the first cocktail book written in the United States, but historians have demonstrated that was around before Jerry got his hands on it. There's actually a known origin for it. In the 1820s, a London playwright created the drink to popularize a play that he had written that had two characters named Tom and Jerry in them. And it just took off from that point and became popular.
The play was called Tom and Jerry, or Life in London, by William Moncrief. It was quite popular at the time, running for over 2 years in London before coming to America. The Domino Bar in Wausau specializes in making Tom and Jerry's, serving over 4,000 of the hot concoction between Thanksgiving and New Year. Bar owner Dan Bauer is not sure if the Tom and Jerry is a Wisconsin thing or not, but he does say,
I know they're very popular around here, especially when it gets cold. The colder it gets, the better it gets. Warms you up inside.
Bauer says the tradition of making Tom and Jerry's over the holidays started at the Domino sometime in the 80s and gets bigger every year. Bartender Donna Seidler put one together Domino style.
We have the bowl of the Tom and Jerry mix. We do a swoop and spoon of the top secret batter. And then we add a shot of dark rum and brandy. And we have to make sure the water is rapidly boiling. And as we pour that in the cup, give it a couple of stirs. It's nice and frothy on top. Top it off with some of the sprinkles. And that is a Tom and Jerry.
Lovely.
If you can't make it to the Domino during the holiday season, you can make Tom and Jerry's at home. Just don't forget to get a tub of batter from the market.
No, I didn't forget. The tree is up and the Tom and Jerry mix is in the refrigerator.
So gather around the fireplace with your family and friends, light the tree, and enjoy the season.
What'll you have, lad?
Whatever you're having, sir.
I'm having Tom and Jerry myself.
Special thanks to Rob Mentzer for his help with this piece. This story came from an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question, and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to wpr.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin, in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Steve Gotcher.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.